have those people that are, like, say, like Pauline, who you never know what's going to happen when they're away, on how the dynamic changes and stuff. But it's all good. We're not looking for a style. We're looking for a heart. So good morning. And last Sunday, Natalie sang the song. Are you with me? Well, you know what? Don't admit that because I, I wouldn't admit that. Okay, let's get into the word this morning. Natalie sang We Believe last Sunday. And I love that song. How many of you love that song? That song is really a song about the Apostles' Creed and based on the Apostles' Creed. And we have sung that song many times over the years, but last Sunday I stopped and I really read the words and I thought to myself, do I believe? Now, this is not confession time. But I thought to myself, I was there and I was worshiping, and we sing these songs, and I stopped and I said, do I believe? Do I believe? The song goes like this: in this time of desperation, when we all know, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation: we believe, we believe. In this broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see there is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. And we believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. We believe. Do we believe? Do we believe? So I was reading the Bible this week, and a couple of times I stopped and I asked myself, Ken, do you believe what you are reading? Do you believe what you are reading? It's interesting, when I first began to read the Bible, it didn't matter how horrific the story was. I didn't see the horrificness of the story. I just trusted in everything that I read and everything. And now when I read some of the stories of it's the Bible is the most truthful book you will ever read, I stop and I say to myself, oh my goodness, this is horrific. This is like brutal, God. Do I believe? Okay. So, Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart, and do you still believe the Bible narratives as you did when you first surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? There is one reason I am asking this question this morning. And in our society, we are bombarded with a culture that tries to get into our minds, tries to get into our hearts, tries to help us doubt so that we will not believe. Amen? Now, you've been hearing that for years. But you know what? It's true. And what happens is, on Wednesday evening, when we were in the prayer room, I got mad. Not fleshly mad, but spiritually mad. And as a pastor, we pour everything into you. Like, I mean everything. We don't take a break. We eat, we live, we do this. All summer, people are away. We did our third wedding yesterday. So that means that three full weekends of the summer that everyone enjoys, we worked, right? So I got mad. And I said to our prayer people in the room, I said, tonight we're going to pray for backsliders. We're not going to pray for prodigals, as we call them. And yes, they are prodigals. And it's so nice. It's so nice that we can decode it. We're going to pray for the prodigals. You know what? If you're not walking with the Lord this morning, you're a backslider. You know what? I can't candy coat it. And I got so upset. And I just called out the Lord. I said, Lord, bring in the backsliders, Lord. Bring them home, Lord. Bring them home. And we weren't praying for the backsliders because we were doing it because of condemnation. We were doing it because there was a pain in our heart to see people that once saw the light that are not walking in the light. Do you think that that sits well with us? Do you think it sits well with us when I know families, when I see their kids, I could see their kids 10 years down the road, and I know that the trouble that they're heading into because the parents don't give a hoot. Because they're so self-serving, it's all about me, 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 me. Because culture has gotten in and got into people's heart and captures people's hearts. And it becomes about us. Everything becomes about us. You've never heard me preach this way, but I'm telling you, there's a war going on. There's a war going on. Do we really care about those people who are not serving the Lord in our families? Do we really care? I remember when I got saved, my mother and my father, they didn't know Jesus. I ended up leading them both to Jesus. And you know what? I didn't sleep. I didn't rest. I didn't rest in my spirit. It was like, there was like a, my brother, my, you know? So I sensed the Holy Spirit say, don't forget what you believe, Ken. Don't forget what you believe. Don't ignore the reminders. Don't ignore the reminders. And the longer I walk with the Lord, the more reminders I need, not less reminders. The more I walk with the Lord, the more we walk through this. Right in the New Testament, they'd say the soon return of Jesus could happen at any time. When I got saved, they were saying that. Okay? He hasn't come back yet. I need reminders. I need reminders in my faith. I need reminders. He is coming back. I don't disbelieve that, okay? I believe that. But I need reminders because you know what? In my lifetime, he may not come back. So how do I walk with the Lord through all of this? How do I walk? How do I put all this into type of perspective? How do you do it? So I don't need less reminders. I need more reminders. I need to stay strong and I need to finish well. And so do you. Amen. And each day it seems that the attacks on what we believe are intensified. Would you agree with that? Okay. They are. Look at you guys at school. Oh my goodness. You know what? Go to school and tell them that you were at Gateway Pentecostal Church on Sunday, you know, and you were praising the Lord. And look at a couple of the eyes roll. Am I right? We need reminders. I got to tell you something, folks. I have witnessed more Christians backsliding in the last few years than I have when I first started pastoring. In the last few years, I have witnessed more Christians backsliding than I did when I first became a pastor, and I was a full-time pastor since 1995. That is like boom, boom, and my abs aren't six packs, okay? So those punches go deep. Boom, boom, another one, another one. We're in a war. And it seems like the buzzword today is whatever. We even hear it in our circles. I'll be talking to someone and they'll say, whatever. you mean whatever? Don't be so rude. Don't do whatever to me and throw up your arms. Whatever. Whatever. Everything is whatever. Whatever. Oh my goodness, what a terrible, terrible word that was. When I grew up in Montreal, we used to, in a culture, there were words that were changing all the time. And example is the word cool. Okay, how many of you use the word cool? You know, is it still cool to use cool? Okay, that was cool, man. So that could be because, you know, instead of saying you're handsome, it would be like cool, you know? And everything was cool. And that was a pretty good word. I kind of liked that. I still kind of use that once in a while. And it was originally meant to, whether to check the weather, whether it was Fahrenheit or Celsius. But then the hippies refined the word cool, and everything became cool, attractive, anything attractive, inviting, anything that we agreed with a way of thinking. It was cool. You know, you're cool. You're cool. We're all cool. And words change over time, and some words that become so culturally entrenched in one generation gets hijacked by another one. So now it's like, you know, you're sick, you know, and that means like you're cool, okay? But yeah, you're sick, so don't be offended. But, you know, like, you're sick, Janine. Like, oh my goodness, man, that's sick, okay? That means you're cool. And so what happens is the word that I want to look at for a few minutes is just the word whatever. How many of you use that word whatever? I remember the first time I was having a little bit of a discussion, okay, an argument with my wife. And she looked at me and she went, whatever. It was one of those, it was like, you know, it's like one of those, so you go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Because if I don't count to 10, I'm going to say something I'm going to regret. Whatever. And I hear Christians saying that all the time too. Whatever. Do you say that? Does anyone say that here? Hey, put up your hand if you say that. Yeah. Whatever. You know. And I loved using the word cool or awesome. Do you know the word you rock? I invented that. Okay, it's true. I remember. I never heard the word. We were at my brother's house in Pickering for Christmas one year, and I love my nieces and nephews. Oh, I don't see them anymore. But my nieces and nephews, they were teenagers, and I would sit there, and I would just say to them, I say, man, you rock. And they'd stop. They go, you rock? I said, where did that come from? I said, you wait. Those words will become famous in the world. Okay? So I was the one who invented you rock. Okay? So I loved it, but whatever. I'm having a conversation with someone, and I get the response, whatever. In joking, it can be fun, but however, it can be so negative. It can be so rude. You know? It's like a word like, I don't care. I don't care. I hear it in circles all the time. However, I like the use of the word in Philippians 4 and 8. I think it's going to be right up there for you, is it? So what does it say? It says, finally, brothers and sisters, say it with me, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Can you say it with me? Whatever. 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 It's repeated 6 times as a front runner to each of the attributes that are in the scripture. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, and so on. So why is this so important? Why is this so important? Well, here's why. None of the contemporary uses of a word, whatever, come anywhere close to what Philippians 4 and 8 mean, right? So there is power of a biblical whatever. There is power in a biblical whatever that can be a game changer. OK, okay, that can be a game changer in your life, in your community. How many of you have ever been cut off by someone and responded in anger? Be honest. Thank you, Dave Patterson. Thank you. Dave Patterson cannot lie. How many over here? You've never been cut off and you've responded in anger. Marianne, you're on the leadership of this church and you put your hand up. Oh my goodness, you're just normal and real. Did you? That's good. Well, you know what? We go back to the whatever. Well, whatever is true. Well, it's true that the person in front of me doesn't know how to drive as well as I do because few people do, right? Have you thought that? But it's also true that I sometimes do the same that they did, right? I cut off people, not on purpose, but I've done it. And maybe I should cut that person some slack, right? Whatever is noble. Though I'm tempted to lash out and join the tailgaters, honkers, and yellers, I can see God and even my wife seeing that not as very honorable. Whatever. Whatever is pure. This is God's way. Purity is the ability to do good and to relate well to both God and to each other. There's no purity in showing someone any of their fingers, any fingers, when we walk by. We need to spend more time in biblical whatever and less time in cultural whatever. Because I think that when we're spending all of our time in this cultural whatever, it's leading to people backsliding. I've never really said the word backsliding so much in a service. But the non-biblical whatever just kind of leads to the backsliding because whatever. I don't give a about. So once again, last Sunday, Natalie opened up the service with the song, We Believe, based on the Apostles' Creed. I'm going to ask James to put it up and on the thing. And I want us to go through it. And the actual Apostles' Creed. So this is what it goes. So I want you to read this with me, and it says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. In some, it says he descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Do you know that the Apostles' Creed is a centuries-old tradition that is used as a daily reminder in some traditions? Or a weekly reminder in services, and maybe not in our tradition. And so what can we learn from this centuries-old tradition? And although Linda and I were saved in a Pentecostal tradition, we have a great appreciation for the traditions that recite the Apostles' Creed each day or each week. And I have begun to start to do this daily or every other daily because I want to believe. And I want my belief going forward to be strong belief. Amen? Amen. Biblical whatever. So I recently read of a Pentecostal church that was for a season recited the creed and then focused on the understanding of the importance of the individual's stated beliefs. They discovered that this consistency was not boring. They were in a Pentecostal church, and every week they would do the Apostles' Creed as they opened it up or at some point, and they discovered that it was not boring and that it was very satisfying. It was very fulfilling. They discovered that it was a reflection of our God, who is steady, who is reliable. There was a time to remember who God is and what we believe about Him and our standing with Him. As they read it, they reflected on that, and they did it together. And do we do that? Do you do that every day? Do you look to God where your standing is with Him? He is reliable in your life. He is everything that we said in that Apostles' Creed. And just as the Jewish people in Scripture frequently recited the miraculous manner in which God rescued them from slavery, we can benefit from repeating truths of who God is, the promise for us, and the future hope we have with Him and through Him. And here are some of the things the Apostles' Creed reveals about our faith today. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. If someone told you that your house was on fire, your belief would lead you to respond, right? Wouldn't it? In the same manner, if we believe in God, we must change the way we live our lives. This portion of Scripture reminds believers of the immeasurable nature of God Almighty, our Creator, and His intimate nature as our Father. And we need to get that into our spirit, because what happens is the cultural whatevers are going to start to take over, because I don't want to see any more backsliders. And I'm going to fight for them. Jen, were we fighting for backsliders? Oh my goodness, okay. If you didn't grow up in a Pentecostal tradition, you would have felt uncomfortable in that room, because you know what? We don't apologize for interceding and praying in tongues and groaning and crying out in the Spirit for God. And I'm telling you, we do that in this house, okay? We do that for people in your families, and we don't make any apologies for it, okay? We go to war. We go to war for people, okay? If your mother or father aren't saved, or if your sisters aren't saved, or there's people in your family that are backsliding that once walked with the Lord, we are after them. We're going, man, we're going for the jugular, okay? It's like, you know what? You remember Muhammad Ali? Boo! We're going to kick you, devil, out of here, okay? Out. You don't have your hands on people here in this house here. Okay? We have 35 children that we could pray for in this house. Where are these 35 children? Well, there's one there. There's a few. 35 children! We have a list of people that are connected with this church. 35 children! I remember a day when we had no children in here, and I would go home and I would bury my head in the pillow and I would pray, and we had 9 babies born. And everyone thought, what a miracle! Yes. And then we have babies that are dedicated. And people have this idea that if they get their baby dedicated, that somehow the baby's going to heaven. Baby dedication isn't about the baby. Baby dedication is about the parent raising the child in a godly home. And I feel used. Weddings come up. People come 2-3 weeks before the wedding. Oh, we're going to make this your church. Okay, we'll do your wedding. We don't see them ever again. Okay, folks, I'm just being real. Okay, I'm just being real. A sacrament, an event, something that we do in the church is not going to get you into heaven. It's going to stand. We're going to stand before the Lord. It's going to be, do you believe? Yes, I believe. It says here, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. The name Jesus Christ means Messiah, yes, and Savior. Proclaiming belief in Him recalls our positions as people in need of a Savior and of saving, and God revealing Himself in relationship reminds us how fundamental this relationship with Him is, who has conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Jesus is not some just historical figure who just a mystical person. He really walked the earth. He performed miracles, and He preached the truth of God. He lived a sinless life, and He willingly suffered for the sins of the world. Amen? I believe I need this reminder more right this minute than I ever have. I believe, carry me through so that I have convictions that I want to, that I care enough in my spirit to cry out for those people who are not walking with You, those people who are going through trouble. I need the reminders, O Lord, and You need the reminders. There's an apathy, okay? It's like, we come, here's your menu, pick and choose what you want. Okay? Where's the entrepreneurs in the Spirit? Where are the people who walk in the Spirit? I'm going for it no matter what. Okay? I don't care if you like me or not. I know that this is right. I am going here. I'm going to go to war. Jesus forces us to deal with who He is in our hearts, and this fact that Jesus would choose to die for us demonstrates the magnitude of our fallen state and in need of a Savior. It's not us about you, that you were broken and you needed a Savior. He died for humanity because humanity is in a broken state in need of a Savior. Amen? Amen. That's what these people in this tradition are saying every week. He descended into hell. So they changed the words from hell and they said, He ascended into the dead. He ascended into hell. And as we say this, we acknowledge the spiritual reality, the spiritual existence that hell is real. People don't want to hear this. I feel like a 1950s preacher here. People who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, guess where they're going? Why have we watered this down? Why don't we just say it the way it is? Maybe it would put some conviction in us to get on our knees and pray. It's the reality of it, folks. I'm not trying to beat you up or preach anything heresy. This is all from Scripture. And as we say this, we acknowledge the reality of a spiritual existence. There are consequences to our sin. I need reminders every day because there are consequences to my sin. There really is. And Jesus took the weight of our sins through His death, through His resurrection. And Jesus not only defeated our physical death, but He also defeated hell. It goes on, it says, He descended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. God's coming judgment is a reality. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the communion of saints. The Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus, and He helps us testify as well. Through the Spirit, we have the power to be the church, to be His witnesses, to connect our lives to God's will. Amen? The Holy Spirit brings us together as a united body, seeking to glorify God. Oh, my goodness, I don't know what it would be like not to be in a fellowship of believers and not to be in a church. To be able to muster it up by myself, all by myself, have church all by myself, and not be with you so that we could join our hearts together in unity and worship our King. There's something so beautiful about that. Laura sent me a funny thing on Instagram of a preacher every Sunday, and he overdoes it, but he was just kind of dancing all around, and she sent it because she says, that's you every Sunday. And oh my goodness, to be able to be all by myself in my house doing this, but not with you. I wouldn't like that. Forgiveness of sins gives us the assurance that we will live with Him. I believe. Do you believe? Okay. Do you believe? Do you believe? I believe. Do you believe? Yes, I know you believe. Okay. But I mean, do you believe? Do you believe? You know? Is there meat and potatoes in that belief? You know? Can you say it with a grunt? Oh, I believe. You know? I believe. The Apostles' Creed is a great reminder that God is deserving of our honor. Amen. And worship. When we come in here, oh my goodness, you know how many years ago I stopped when I come in? Oh, my favorite song came along, now I could worship. Do you know what? It's an honor to come into the house and worship, okay? It's a privilege, okay? It's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty. So remembering all that He has done for His church should make us want to join with others in proclaiming our faith. We should be open to the truth of Scripture and draw closer to God as we worship Him in awe and in wonder. So, whatever. Are we whatever in what we believe, or are we whatever in our cultural beliefs? Whatever. Philippians 4 and 8, and ask the worship team to come. Philippians 4 and 8 says this. Let's read it together. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Would you stand with me? As it begins the song, would you close your eyes just for a minute? Everyone's eyes are closed right here. I'm just going to use the word that I used in my message. Okay? And I'm not going to candy coat it. And if Holy Spirit is working on your heart, you know what? Just come clean. Is there anyone here that's been living in a backslidden mode that needs to confess that? And I'm not going to introduce you to anyone. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. Is there anyone here who's been living in a backslidden mode? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? And thank you. Thank you. And you need to get right with God. You need to say, I believe. I believe. Okay? And one of the things is why we live in a backslidden mode is because we forgot what we believe, because we've allowed the cultural whatever to get into our spirit instead of the biblical whatever. Whatever is pure, whatever is noble. And so I pray for you today, you people that put up your hand, that you will come and that you will call upon your Savior this morning. Anyone else over here by the window section? Anyone living in a backslidden, in a black? It doesn't mean you could be in this church and come to church every week, and you not have a, and you could be living in a backslidden relationship with Jesus Christ because this is the only day that He shows up in your life. Anyone? Anyone? In the middle? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, so people responded. So, Laura, lead us, please, in this song, and thank you, congregation.